We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me, as always, your Notre Dame hater-in-chief, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I honestly didn't think I said anything. And I know that my only regret about what I said about, you know, the nullified November win over Clemson now that Notre Dame got wiped off the field in the conference championship game.
Notre Dame, I think, was what you tried to go with.
Notre Dame. Notre Dame. Brian. Pumpkin Spice Brian.
Right.
The only regret I have about what I said was... just personally, I felt like I was dunking on you a little bit.
Oh, I don't care about that.
I know.
Listen, you were dunking on yourself.
I care about you.
You were dunking on yourself. That was one of the worst arguments you've ever made.
Wait, one of the worst arguments I've ever made?
The whole thing about invalidating the earlier win. That was one of the more asinine comments you've ever made.
You buying a commemorative issue of whatever magazine celebrating the Notre Dame win over Clemson now? It's just as meaningful?
No, I didn't say it was just as meaningful. It definitely takes...
That was my whole point.
No, you said it nullified it.
It meant
you
nothing.
You said it nullified it. That's what I have it on tape. I listened back. I edited it. I cleaned it up.
Yeah, so did I. But, I mean, we can get into this later because we should introduce... well, we have a new co-host.
Danny Cannell stopping by.
Danny Cannell. shout out Chip Patterson, shout out Barton Simmons, shout out Tom Fornelli. My argument was, if you're going to like, okay, here is why Notre Dame is still a playoff team. They beat Clemson. Just like, what? But not meaningfully anymore. Like, you can talk about North Carolina, I suppose. You can talk about, you know, starting slow against Syracuse and then pouring it on. Talk about other teams in the ACC, but I don't know about, you
all
know.
Right. Well,
is Clemson that same feather, Ty?
Listen, let's get into
this later.
Let's get into this later. People don't want to hear us argue at the very top of the show.
You know, if Notre Dame fans are upset about something, then a vast majority of people are pretty cool with things.
Oh, they're fine with it. And I'm fine. You didn't dunk on me. I don't care. Mama H, by the way, I think I told you this.
I regret that, too. She's a great lady.
Thought that there may be legit tension between you and I because of the Notre Dame conversation. I'm like, Mom, we've been doing this since 2008. We've talked about a lot of stuff between then and now. Right. I don't think a little conversation about Notre Dame's 24-point loss to Clemson is really going to bring the whole ship down. But
no. Also, Notre Dame fans are used to this happening in December and January.
Okay.
This is nothing.
Okay.
This is, you guys are seasoned veterans.
Okay. We'll get into this. So here is the deal, one and all. We are the Solid Verbal. Yeah. We're going to continue putting out multiple shows per week all throughout bowl season, all throughout the off season, for what it's worth. We're still drawing up what our plans look like. This is, for the vast majority of you, the last show you will hear of ours before Christmas. So Merry Christmas. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Wherever you may be, wherever this podcast finds you, thank you so much for your support this holiday season. SolidVerbal@gmail.com, as always, is where you can email in your thoughts, of which I know there are many. We also do have our Patreon, which is going strong out there at verballers.com. The Winter Wonders game is starting to ratchet up. We had our first interesting prop bet of the bowl season last evening. We're recording this on a Tuesday, as App State won big over North Texas, but we had that little side prop. How many times are the announcers going to bring up the famous App State win over Michigan?
And what was the number?
Set that line at 1.5. There was exactly one mention.
Ooh, close one call.
One mention in passing. And of course, they're still talking about the big win over Michigan, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, I was banking, if you're going to go on the over 1.5 there, banking on a mention and a clip later on. Like, right. We mentioned, of course, 2007 App State over Michigan. Who could forget this moment? That's what I was banking on. But listen, congrats to everybody who had the under.
Congrats to everyone who had the under. So what we're going to do today is we've got a bunch of coaching news, a bunch of news that we're going to get into at the very top. And then we're going to go through all the bowl games and talk through some of the bowl swag, as we do often on this show, as we do every year on this show. We can't put together kind of a normal bowl preview because just the timeline doesn't work out. We're going to do our best to rifle through as many games as possible and just off the top of our heads, give some instant feedback, instant reactions. Some of you out there, many of you out there, are playing our confidence pool at ESPN.com. I know, obviously, a great number of our Patreon subscribers are playing the Winter Wonders games. So I've got point spreads here for a bunch of these games. Going to talk through, as we often do, bowl season, just maybe not in as much detail as you might be accustomed.
Speak for yourself, Ty.
Okay.
Because I know. No, I don't know. I don't know anything. I am, and do we have the swag lists?
I have the swag list. Through. Yes, I have the swag list. So why don't we start with news? You ready? Nuts roasting on an open fire.
I can't wait for you to see what I got you for Christmas. Didn't I already get you? I got you something for your birthday. I'm not going birthday and Christmas.
No. Don't do that.
But if I did, it would have been a key fourth down conversion, Ty. Just for
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank
just
you, Dan.
Just for you. Yeah.
Auburn. Who is going to be Auburn's coach? They've been turned down now by Billy Napier, Bill Clark. Kevin Steele appears to be out as well because some scuttlebutt that Auburn might be trying to control the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Brent Venables was rumored as of this morning and then quickly unrumored as it was announced that he is staying put at Clemson. The joke that we've got going, sidebar between you and I, is that Auburn has put itself in a situation now where they're going to have to vastly overpay for somebody. That's it seems like it's going to that place. That may be fine depending on who that name is, but they're going to Jimbo Fisher territory. Not literal Jimbo Fisher, but Jimbo Fisher contract territory pretty quickly.
Russ Dalzahn, new head coach. Auburn University. Yeah, no, it's the Texas A&M thing was a lot more fluid than this. There were, of course, the rumors, or not more fluid, but a lot smoother sailing in terms of finding their head coach. There were rumors that Jimbo was unhappy and that Texas A&M was interested, and then it worked out. Texas A&M paid him a whole bunch of money, and he showed up in boots and pet horses, and everything kind of worked out hunky-dory. A little rough early on, but, you know, on the precipice of a playoff berth this year.
We will
Auburn
see.
Auburn less so.
who are
Herm Edwards.
What are some of the names that are still out there, Dan? And what are some of the names that we would find most amusing, given circumstances?
At this point, like all of the names that sort of made sense, Bill Clark at UAB, in-state, and certainly what he's done with a much smaller program and the continued success they've had in Birmingham, Billy Napier and what he's done in Louisiana. You know, there was, I think it's a more of a faction thing that they're just, they're not all in lockstep behind a strategy and a candidate and a type of candidate because, you know, is it an internal guy in Kevin Steele? Is it, you know, a bigger school guy like Brent Venables at DC or Mario Cristobal, head coach at Oregon? Like, it just seems they're sort of all over the place in exactly what they're looking for, which is fine. But I don't know, it changes by the day that there's steam around one guy. Like yesterday, I think was Billy Napier. This morning was Brent Venables, who apparently spoke to them on Monday. There was Tony Elliott conversation, you know, throughout the, what, the Notre Dame Clemson game.
Sark is out, apparently.
Sark is hanging around Tuscaloosa. I don't know. I think we're at the point where it's just going to be like, yep, Jeff Brohm is the new Auburn head coach.
Oh, man. All right. We'll keep you up to speed on that one. Some of the other coaching scuttlebutt out there. Arizona supposedly down to Jed Fish, the quarterback coach for the Patriots.
Yeah. Was that Michigan, UCLA? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. He's been around. And Brett Brennan from San Jose State. Ken Niumatalolo is apparently out of the running. He was mentioned as a possibility there.
I think he spoke to them, but it appeared that there were reports that they were down to Fish and Brennan.
Yeah. We didn't mention Fish in some of the, I guess, earlier reporting that we had done or had reported on when this announcement first came down, but Brett Brennan was a name that immediately surfaced given what he's done at San Jose State. See which direction they go. In coordinator news, LSU has fired both Bo Pelini and Scott Linehan, defense and offense.
Passing game coordinator, yeah.
Passing game coordinator, sure. And on the flip side of that, I guess, Texas Tech making a pretty big move, hiring Sonny Cumbie away from TCU to be their new offensive coordinator. You may recall at the start of the year, Gary Patterson brought Sonny Cumbie back. Now Sonny Cumbie going down to Lubbock.
Also, Steve Ensminger retiring, the offensive coordinator who helped with Joe Brady to develop that record-breaking offense and certainly could not replicate it this year with a whole bunch of injuries and opt-outs and a different situation in Baton Rouge. But hopefully Texas Tech can get their offense to a healthier place than where it was this year with David Yost. And yeah, they've had quarterback injuries. There are reasons for things rolling out the way that they did, but hopefully there's some more offense down there in Lubbock. Just regular news, Ty, Iowa, South Carolina, Tennessee, all with COVID issues and pulling out of bowl games. Army is replacing Tennessee in the Liberty Bowl. South Carolina no longer playing in your favorite bowl, the Gasparilla Bowl.
Gasparilla. Yeah.
And I guess it's TBD at the time of our recording, Iowa's bowl plans in the Music City Bowl against Mizzou. A lot of black and yellow in that game, Ty. I know it's gold, but black and yellow. Dan Mullen was hit with a show cause, which is a very confusing phraseology considering he has a job. And show causes generally are associated with coaches who aren't working and they shouldn't work unless they can prove that it wasn't their fault, their NCAA issues. But yeah, he is prohibited, Dan Mullen, head coach Florida, off-campus recruiting during the fall 2020 evaluation period and a four-day off-campus recruiting ban during the fall 2021 contact period. It's regarding him talking to a recruit on a high school campus, and I guess there was proof that they had scheduled the talk, so it wasn't just, you know, the bump-in rule that sometimes coaches can get away with breaking rules and claiming. Bunch of transfer portal activity here, Ty. I don't know if any of these names stood out to you, if you want to go through them.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, Jarrett Garantano, of course, at Tennessee. That was pretty recent. He is entering the portal. Jacob Sermon, who is a blue chip quarterback at Washington. He, of course, lost out on the starting gig to Dylan Morris. He's moving on to Central Michigan, which I think is a pretty impressive move, right? Jim McElwain has done pretty well with quarterbacks. Patrick O'Brien at Colorado State, Kasim Hill from Maryland to Tennessee, now to Rhode Island. Garrett Schrader, who was promising as a freshman, he goes to Western New York to the Carrier Dome in Syracuse. Tanner Mordecai at Oklahoma. Quincy Patterson, Virginia Tech to North Dakota State.
Wow.
Former blue chip quarterback. Nice little get. I mean, I guess North Dakota State just keeps on winning games and, you know, Trey Lance probably get drafted somewhere.
Bison. Yeah.
Bison. You know, Anthony Russo, Temple, Grant Gunnell, former high regarded quarterback and starter at Arizona moves on with Kevin Sumlin getting fired. Your boy King Cone, Rocky Lombardi, bunch of guys. Penn State has John Lovett, the Baylor running back.
Love it or leave it, yeah.
So they were hit pretty hard with injuries and, of course, Journey Brown's health situation. So they're building that room back up. Couple big NFL declarations. Nick Bolton, who you love going into the season and backed it all up for Mizzou at linebacker. And Miami's bookends of Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips have decided to opt out of the Cheez-It Bowl, opting out of glory, Ty.
Yeah.
Opting out of Cheez-It Bowl glory to prepare for the NFL draft. I think those are all like the personnel situations that jumped out, both coaching and player wise. But we have a whole list of bowl games that were announced.
Do we mention the Arizona Bowl thing in San Jose State?
Oh, that's right. That's a strange situation.
That's the other situation. So right now, there remains a little bit of uncertainty whether San Jose State, the real Spartans, as we refer to them on the show, are even going to be able to board a plane to get to the Arizona Bowl because it may violate county quarantine guidelines. Mm-hmm. That is according to the Santa Clara County Executive Officer, Dr. Jeff Smith. So, look, these are weird times. We got teams opting out. We got players opting out. San Jose State's been a great story for like 85 different reasons. I'm sure they've had 85 different challenges, if not more, that they've had to deal with in this age of COVID. This just happens to be another one. It would be a shame if they weren't able to play in this bowl game. However, if it violates the rules, it violates the rules. So I don't really have much else to add there. It's just something to keep your eye on. I know a lot of folks are out there trying to figure out, like, who do we pick? Who do we, like, what do we do about the Arizona Bowl? I don't know. We'll try to go through it as best we can and talk about gifts. But that's at least the state of play right now in Santa Clara County.
Do you hear the music?
I do.
Do you know what? That's the theme, too. I'd be so impressed. And you know what? There's like a 14.5% chance you know. Come on, Ty. No? Nothing?
I can't hear it that well. Who framed Roger Rabbit?
No. That's the theme to Argo.
Oh.
If there is an executive officer.
A little bit off.
Threatening to block San Jose State from boarding a plane. I got to rewatch Argo. To me, it's an all-time modern. I guess not all-time modern, but it's a great one of the modern era. I enjoyed Argo thoroughly. Should we go with bowls?
Let's go with bowls. Let's play this. Let's make it a December to remember, Dan, here on the podcast. We've got a full bowl list. Don't know if we're going to go in order. I'm making this way more dramatic than it needs to be.
No, I like it. Keep going.
Let me fade this out here. We've got a pretty good list. This is not going to go in chronological order. This is really just the order in which you threw them up here on the document, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Let's start with the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, because I think this is one of the more intriguing matchups. It's certainly a top 10 matchup. We've got a couple of those that we'll discuss. Number 6, Oklahoma. Number 7, Florida. Florida favored by 3. Play this one on December the 30th. I don't have a readout here on the gifts. They would not disclose the gifts per official reporting from the Sports Business Journal. So, good matchup.
Strikes me as
one that's going to mean more for Oklahoma than Florida. You know my deal when it comes to bowl season. Which team is in it to win it more? Which team does this game mean more to? I think the answer here is Oklahoma. Because Florida had a crack at Alabama. They lost. It's a good game, but they lost. Kyle Pitts is opting out. He's already opted out, I guess, which shouldn't come as a huge surprise.
Right.
The over-under is 72.5, so I think we're going to see a lot of points one way or the other.
Yeah, I would say the more so than which team wants to be there more, which team lost their best player.
Well, right.
That's tough.
Yeah. I'm tempted to go Oklahoma here. And not because I think they're better than Florida on a neutral field during the regular season, but given circumstances, I think Oklahoma has more to play for. A younger team coming together at a good time. Florida's good, but I just don't see why they're motivated to play in this one.
I don't know. You still get to play on national TV against a top 10 team. I mean, I get why in 2020, you know, teams are less motivated and, you know, opting out for NFL prep or opting out just to spend time with their family around New Year's and the holidays, whatever. But I think there's motivation here for Florida. I don't think they went into the Alabama game thinking that they were going to get into the playoff, you know, that they were going to beat Alabama. This is the reality that they live in. But you get to play Oklahoma. You get to play in Jerry World? That's where this game is.
Yep.
I think there's excitement around there.
It's a great matchup.
And it's Bob Stoopsy, right? Florida, Oklahoma.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a great matchup. It really is. And one of the few here that I'm genuinely excited to see, because I think it's going to be a lot of points. I think it's going to be a ton of fun. Don't expect a lot of defense. That's why the over-under is 72.5, excuse me. So, good matchup. I think I'm tempted to go Oklahoma plus the points and probably Oklahoma outright in my confidence pool. Again, this is my thing. It may not make sense to anybody else, but my thing is all about motivation in bowl season. And I think that's only going to be magnified this year, where we've got teams in various states of caring because of COVID. I'm going to lean into it even harder this year. So
okay.
Give me Oklahoma.
All right. And if you're going to this game, you can eat really well because DFW has good food options.
Let's go to the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Speaking of eating well.
Mm-hmm.
I drove by a Chick-fil-A earlier today. I had to run the pup up to the vet.
Did you get anything?
I thought about it, but there was
oh, come on.
See, here's the thing. Here is the problem about the Chick-fil-A that I frequent.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that they do not have an optimal drive-through setup. And if you go at any point around lunchtime, you are really risking an accident. I'm not kidding. I've sat outside. I've seen near misses there.
Okay.
And especially now where people aren't going inside, mm-hmm. everyone's using the drive-through.
Backing up. Yeah.
So I'm not going to put myself or my pup, who was traumatized by a visit to the vet, into harm's way by doing that. So I declined.
So this is just a story to tell me you drove by a Chick-fil-A today?
No, I took the dog to the vet.
Oh, okay.
And on the way back, considered stopping at Chick-fil-A for lunch, but I didn't pull the trigger.
So tell the people what you had for lunch in its place.
I just had a salad here at home. It was boring. It wasn't as good, I know.
Okay. Cincinnati, Georgia. It sort of reeks of, UCF Auburn a little bit? Where you have this G5 team who has a great season. I don't think people were fully expecting them to make the playoff, even though they went undefeated. But they have an opportunity to prove that they belong with the biggest of boys, even though Georgia lost a couple games this year. But certainly with JT Daniels, looks much improved offensively. And the game is, what's in Atlanta, right? The Peach Bowl?
Yeah. It's so for whatever.
Does that work for or against Georgia?
I don't know. I was going to say, for whatever it's worth, it's basically a home game for Georgia. Mm-hmm. Both teams are going to be motivated here, in my view. Like you said, Georgia's played really well down the stretch, especially since JT Daniels came in and kind of infused that offense with some energy. Meanwhile, Cincy, like, this is their de facto national championship game.
Sure.
This is their de facto championship game. The line is 7 in favor of Georgia, over under about 50 points. So Vegas expecting a relatively low scoring game. I do think Georgia's the better team. I think they'll win. But 7's a lot here to me. 7's a lot. The only reason that I am hedging and not jumping in full speed on not just Cincinnati as a dog, but pretty much every dog, given circumstances, is because the Georgia defense is really good. And I don't think Cincinnati's seen anything close to this Georgia defense. I'm not sure that their offense is going to be as productive going up against the Dogs. I don't expect it will.
What did Georgia's defense finish in the Danalytics? Not really Danalytics, but this is 24th in points per drive allowed, minus garbage time, right there with Oregon.
So what does that mean for you?
Oh, I don't have a lean yet. I haven't really jumped into the specifics in this game. And you know, I think there's going to be opt-outs between now and the time we preview this game. But I'm excited to see how Cincinnati's defense is able to perhaps confuse and hound some really talented elements of the Georgia offense and vice versa. So, this one I have circled as one of the more watchable games. And we've got a gift suite.
We have a report here on their official gifts for the participants.
Gift suite, $390 MasterCard gift card.
Okay.
Fossil watch and a commemorative football. Now, without fully knowing what's available in the gift suite and how many points each option is worth, I can tell you it's not creative, but, you know, $300, $390 in MasterCard cash, whatever. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's versatile, right? It's versatile. Yeah.
There's a limit of, you know, $500-$600, I believe, in terms of what can be given to each player. And they filled it out with the gift card. Fine. Feels normal.
This next game here is one that pretty consistently has a really good gift situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. This year, of course, they're going to walk away with PlayStation 5s, which can't find anywhere right now.
Pretty good.
And you get it just for playing in the game. You also get a Lululemon Cruiser Backpack, which I just looked up. I'm sure it's pricey. Yeah, it's like $89.
About $100, yeah.
Whatever. It's a lot. It looks like, oh, it says, oh, snap, we're all out. So maybe they gave them all away to the bowl game. Looks like a nice backpack. Huge proponent of a good backpack.
Love a good backpack. I used to do the messenger bag thing, and it made no sense. One shoulder was sore. I was all off. Can wear a backpack. Even out that weight distribution.
We've got number 25, Oregon. Number 10, Iowa State. Iowa State's a four-point favorite. I love Iowa State here. I love the clones. And this is not some way to, like, get backsies on you after your comments against
Notre Dame.
You can
say whatever you want about Oregon. We'll be cool.
No. Thank you. I just, Oregon's here on a technicality. You know that. They're here on a technicality. They played well enough to win against USC. It's still a good win. But you're pretty early on the bandwagon of saying that Oregon's not particularly good. And this is a hell of a way to close out the season for Iowa State to win the Fiesta Bowl. So I think there's so much on the line for Matt Campbell here. It definitely means more to Iowa State than maybe almost anybody else in college football. Matt Campbell always gets his troops fired up. So give me the clones.
Did Notre Dame not play Iowa State last year in a bowl game?
They did.
Are we just circling each other for the Solid Verb Bowl, both taking on Iowa State within almost a calendar year-ish?
Correct.
That's pretty good. Well, we have a duo of quarterbacks from Arizona in Brock Purdy and Tyler Shuck. If Tyler Shuck starts this game, I imagine you saw Anthony Brown got some snaps against USC. Oregon, Iowa State, no history of playing football. I looked it up. I don't believe they've ever played, at least not anywhere, you know, in the last like 80 years or something like that. They were going to play basketball this year, but in terms of like major athletics, as far as I could tell in very brief research, Oregon and Iowa State have not crossed paths. One of the more intriguing games to see what, you know, Breece Hall and that Iowa State offense can do against an improved Oregon defense that really did a great job against USC. But on the flip side of things, Tyler Shuck throwing into a confusing, fast, aggressive, successful Iowa State defense. That's pretty scary. So it would be a fantastic win for Iowa State because Oregon's still pretty good. And beating, you know, one of the better programs in college football on the national stage would be great for the clones. So this one's a fun one. Are you getting a PS5, by the way? Is that something that
I want to get one.
Decided?
Yeah, when I can, but I'm not I'm not having much luck. I'll wait till they're more in mass circulation before I...
You're just going to get FIFA? Like, are you going to get other games? Are you just upping your FIFA graphics every few years?
I'll probably get FIFA. I haven't gotten better at FIFA in a good 5 or 6 years. I don't know if the PlayStation 5 will make that any more attainable, but it's really the only game I play.
If and when the NCAA series comes back,
I'm all in.
I'll get a PS5.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all in.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Capital One Orange Bowl. Number 5, A&M, a 7-point favorite, squaring off against number 13, North Carolina. Play this one on January 2nd, along with the Fiesta Bowl, I should add, which is played a little earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Teams are getting a gift suite and a Torno watch. What is a Torno watch?
Let's see. I mean, you can get pretty pricey with these. Wow. Okay.
8,000 styles from nearly 100 brands offering the latest and largest certified pre-owned watch collection. Okay. I have no idea what this is, but it looks like it's a fancy company and It's always good to get a watch. These are nice watches.
Pre-owned watches. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Not a big watch guy myself, but.
Do you wear a watch at all?
No. No. I have an Apple Watch. I wore that for a while, but I'm just at home now. I have no need to.
I don't think Tourneau is a watch brand. Maybe I can be corrected by somebody who knows better. I think they're a watch retailer.
Okay.
So I'm sure it'll be like a $100, $150, $200 watch or something like that. It should be nice enough, making a big bowl game.
I really like Caroline and the points here.
Why is that?
First off, this is totally a game where the team who has the ball last is going to win. And seven's
a lot. Both of these teams have sort of been playing down or a little bit up to their opponents in the back half of the schedule.
Yeah, this is a game that's destined to be a shootout. I do think a letdown effect would be totally reasonable for A&M. They wanted that playoff spot. They're not getting it, obviously. Playing in the Orange Bowl, which is a hell of a consolation prize against a good team, but it certainly does not have the same shine as playing in Alabama or Clemson. And on the other side, look, I stand by the fact that Carolina is a really good young team. They're flawed, but they've got a dynamite offense, and Mac Brown's going to have them up for this game. So I think a lot of points.
Yeah, it did last year against what? The Owls of Temple?
Yeah. I think I go plus the points here. 68.5. I'm inclined to go over as well in the Orange Bowl. The one caveat here, especially with the context of this show and our argument over the last show and a half, Carolina, that win over Carolina by Notre Dame, definitely played into Notre Dame making it in over A&M. So
yeah, and Florida State, who did the same thing. Yeah,
if A&M comes out and empties the clip to run it up and make a point, that's also a possibility. But I'm going to go Carolina here because I think A&M's gettable through the air.
Yeah, A&M got up for their bowl game against a pretty good Oklahoma State team last year, right? That was the Texas Bowl, I want to say. And so a pretty decent bowl history. Kellen Mond, if I remember correctly, ran pretty wild against Oklahoma State. So something to worry about if you're a North Carolina fan, certainly with some of the quarterbacks who have damaged that Tar Heel defense on the ground, as your precious Ian Book did as well. I'm just looking forward to this game. I'm curious to see how a very good A&M defense deals with, and I know North Carolina has at least a couple opt-outs at the moment, but an offense that's been sensational. So something I'm circling, and it's been a minute since Texas A&M has been in a New Year's Six caliber game, right? I think it was the Johnny Manziel, so that's what, 2012 season, 2013 bowl game. God, was it the Cotton Bowl that year, which was only a pseudo New Year's Six game then? Maybe I'm misremembering all of this against Oklahoma, but yeah, a nice bounce back year for Texas A&M after a rough 2019, finishing in a New Year's Six game. Still good, even with any sort of lingering animus over the playoff committee.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Got a couple games here on our sheet that are going to be over by the time people hear this podcast.
Okay.
Including the...
We also had a bowl game happen last night.
Yeah, we mentioned App State earlier.
Yeah.
App State winning big over North Texas, but we
ran the hell all over them.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl between Tulane and Nevada. That takes place tonight. Again, we're recording this on Tuesday. Won't drop till Wednesday morning, as will the Boca Raton Bowl, which between BYU and UCF, which is an interesting matchup, to say the
least. I enjoy Boise. I've been a couple times. I've enjoyed my time there.
Yeah.
Boca Raton, I've also been to Boca, and it's what you expect. It's a nice area of Florida, but this game, I'm excited for, Ty. I'm excited for tonight. Is that what you said?
Tonight, yeah.
So it's what? Dylan Gabriel and UCF taking on BYU. Dylan Gabriel's father, Garrett Gabriel, beat BYU when, you know, the height of BYU football, late 80s, early 90s. So you got Zach Wilson and Dylan Gabriel just bombing down the field.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Celebrating with a gift suite appearance.
We don't want to invalidate this podcast by talking too much about a bowl game that's in the past now. When people
right. So try to react as accurately as possible, mere hours before kickoff.
The RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah.
Louisiana Tech, Georgia Southern. Southern is favored. This one's on Wednesday afternoon. No info on the gift suite. I got to be real here because this is a show about honesty.
Yeah, please.
I went through everywhere. I picked Louisiana Tech everywhere. Every single spot. You know why?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Buying
I thought
low,
it
I
said
guess.
Louisiana.
Mm, smart. That's where
I
that,
thought
that's...
it said Louisiana. La Tech, I think, went 5-4. Really shouldn't be in a bowl game. Really, like, not good
they
enough.
They took a pretty
to be.
Big step back this year.
Yeah. 112 in the SP Plus, and I think they lose this game going away. So give me Southern.
Okay.
Well, let's stay down in the Gulf region. Montgomery Bowl. This one also being played on Wednesday. Memphis -8 against the Owls of
Owls?
FAU. Get a gift suite, a beanie, a backpack, and a big game autograph football, Dan.
Okay, that's pretty good.
FAU. We haven't talked a lot about FAU. Lane Kiffin left after last season. Went to Ole Miss.
Jim Leavitt thoughts?
No, I don't have any deep burning thoughts here other than... they're fine if they can play defense and score 24 points and win. Sure. I don't think that's going to be the case against Memphis because the Tigers, despite the fact that they are not as dynamic on offense this year as they have been in years past, they're still pretty good. Still pretty good. They're still an above average team. And I think FAU's resume pales in comparison. I just don't think they're ready for a team like a Memphis. I think Memphis wins this one pretty handily.
Even though you decided against Chick-fil-A for lunch today, I've decided to. I'm going to give you a nugget here, Ty.
Okay.
Number one red zone defense in the country? FAU.
FAU?
Leading the country in touchdown percentage allowed in the red zone. 26%, just ahead of Northwestern at 28%.
So it's a good defense.
Clamp things up. Yeah.
It's a good defense.
I don't know how much of this game I'll be watching, though.
New Mexico Bowl. This one on Christmas Eve. This one also being played in Frisco, Texas, which is a strange twist. Mm-hmm. We got Houston -11 against Hawaii. Our special prop in the Winter Wonders Pick'em Challenge, prop bet challenge, whatever you want to call it, is how many times are they going to reference or show that graphic that cites how many miles Hawaii has traveled this year to play football?
With those little dashes with like a plane graphic.
They have had that same animation in the stockpile for a good decade and a half. They all with the push pins on the map and the dots and the plane.
It's great. It's always a winner.
Got that prop in there.
Christmas Eve. How are you spending Christmas Eve?
Not sure. Not sure yet. It's a weird year.
Do you open gifts Christmas Eve or Christmas morning? What's your
typically,
tradition?
Typically, in my family, we would do it Christmas Eve. We would do everything on Christmas Eve, but it's not a normal year. So,
special dinner? A prime rib roast? A beyond prime rib roast?
We haven't decided yet. Kate and I have not decided yet what we're going to do.
A couple days out.
I know. I know.
Do you normally make her a nice meal on Christmas Eve, or she'd make you a nice meal? Some combination?
Normally, we do the seven fishes up at Mama H's.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You mentioned that. Okay.
But this year, I'm sure as hell not cooking seven fishes for two people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm open to suggestions as to
I'm ready.
To do.
Ty, you ready?
Please.
You're going to make the seven fish tacos. Okay. You're gonna make seven fish tacos. Maybe you have three, she has four. Maybe you each have two and you save some of the seven fish tacos. It gets the job done and it's not a ton of food, not too heavy. And the spirit is still there.
And it's tacos, which is very on brand for you.
If you can't trust somebody with the last name Rubenstein for Christmas advice.
That's right.
I don't know
that's
what
exactly
you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. No, they get a gift suite. Nothing else listed for the New Mexico Bowl. Houston, an 11-point favorite. I think Houston's demonstrably better. Do you have any burning thoughts in this game?
No, I've liked watching Siobhan Cordero all year long. I hope he plays.
The Camellia Bowl. Buffalo against Marshall. They get a gift suite, a beanie, a backpack, and a big game autograph football. Got any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, the Buffalo offense has been quite fun. It's an offense versus defense game. Certainly Marshall didn't finish the season in any sort of meaningful way with their two losses on a bigger stage, but ooh, I was burping right there, Ty. That's what you do when you get older. You just burp right through it. No, this is an attractive game to me. Sort of a midday, 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 Eastern. Yeah, I'm probably going to watch a good chunk of this game. Gift suite, beanie, backpack, big game autograph football. Yeah.
On Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm going Marshall. Their defense is really good. I think Buffalo's season was a bit of a mirage. I do.
Really?
I love Lance Leipold, but this is a really good example of I ain't played nobody.
Right.
So give me Marshall.
Okay.
Christmas surprise.
I have no thoughts yet.
4.5-point dog in this game.
Okay.
The Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl.
Gasparilla.
Now, this is going to Gasparilla. This is confusing to me. For the longest
Marshall
time.
Marshall lost this game last year.
They did.
To UCF, yeah.
For the longest time, I thought Gasparilla was the sponsor of the bowl. And not that right. It was the name of the bowl in like Camellia Bowl fashion.
Right. It's likely going to be canceled, by the way, because South
likely
Carolina can't
canceled.
Play. Yeah. To be clear.
To be clear.
Let's not waste too many words on. Let's not spill too much ink, as they say.
It's supposed to be between UAB and South Carolina. South Carolina went 2-8 and fired their coach this year, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how I feel about them playing in a bowl to begin with. I would be inclined to go UAB by whatever, lay the points. They might win it by 3 touchdowns if they play it. But again, if is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. Does not look like the Gasparilla Bowl is going to happen.
No, that's too bad.
The FBC Mortgage Cure Bowl. Coastal Carolina -7 against Liberty. Play this one on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas. Earlier in the day, they get a gift suite, a dry fit shirt, a canteen, and a Sasquatch party bag. Can you look that up? Can you tell me what that is?
Sasquatch party bag?
What is a Sasquatch party bag?
A Sasquatch, it's a must-have item that does it all. Ideal for summer outdoor sports, hiking, camping, rafting, water sports. I think it keeps stuff dry.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, like okay. A canvas bag of some kind.
Okay.
Yeah. Looks
well,
pretty good.
This is a good matchup. This is a good matchup. It's, Coastal Swan Song. I saw their coach was talking at halftime or during the third quarter of the App State game, the bowl game, because they played that one down at Coastal's home stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And he's excited about the matchup.
Yeah. I mean, the Liberty canceled this matchup earlier on in the
right.
season, so I can understand the excitement.
It's good that they get to play it. Far be it mm-hmm. from me at this point to bet against the Shants. 7 points? 7 points is the line. Mm. I got to go Shants here. They got a lot to play
fun.
For.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like they're ending with a mid-level ACC team or Big 12 team. Like there's a certain amount of pride with Liberty being one of the absolute better you know, I mean, they're independent, but G5 level schools. So, yeah, I think they're going to be up for this game to finish out that season undefeated and claim that national championship.
Two other games quickly on December the 26th. The ServPro First Responder Bowl. You may recall this one from, was it a year or two ago when it got canceled midway through? Or very early on, like the first quarter?
Oh, right. Boise, Boston College.
Yep. ServPro First Responder Bowl between Louisiana and UTSA. And at the same time, it's the Lending Tree Bowl between Western Kentucky and Georgia State. The gift package here for both of these games is something that I want to discuss.
I'm ready.
So on the ServPro side, you get the gift suite, you get the football, you get the apparel item. You also get the Anker phone charger.
Is that how you pronounce it? It's not Anker?
I think it may be Anker, but Anker makes me sound more sophisticated.
I love Anker. Like, that was a pen pal you had in Hamburg
right.
when you were in fifth grade. New letter from Anker. Continue.
How would you feel if you were a top flight recruit going to a bowl game, you get the phone charger? Think that's a good gift?
I mean, it's a good gift for current Dan.
Right.
It is a good gift. I mean, everybody should have one of these. I think it's crucial, but, you know, it doesn't really get you going like a PS5 does.
I just feel like if you're going to a bowl game, if you get any use out of the free gifts that you get, that's a bonus. And the phone charger you're going to use, you're going to use a phone charger. So I don't think I'm disappointed with that. It does not have the heights of the Lending Tree Bowl, which I'm going to talk about here. But it's utility. It's got utility.
Yeah, absolute utility. Good gift. Good gift to give, receive if you're looking for a stocking stuffer. Not necessarily this brand, but I've got a couple of this brand. They seem good.
On the flip side of this, Dan, the Lending Tree Bowl. I want to talk about this.
Topper thoughts.
Gift suite. Maui Jim sunglasses. A Nixon watch. Wireless earbuds. And a Hudson Cole duffel bag.
I'm looking up Hudson Cole now. Is that Kenneth Cole's brother?
I don't know.
Hudson Cole duffel bag.
Maui Jim has played in the bowl space before. We're familiar with his work. I don't know if I've seen a Nixon watch. Wireless earbuds is, well, they don't list the brand name here, but we know that wireless earbuds have changed our lives, Dan.
Absolutely.
The duffel bag feels like this could put this one over the top here and maybe be a very underrated bowl swag package.
Good looking duffel, based in Brooklyn. About $150 is what it says on their website.
Now, is it like an army duffel bag like you take with you into battle, or is it what does this look like? Describe it.
You got a long weekend trip to the Poconos, Ty.
Okay.
You don't know what the weather's gonna be, so you've got, you know, light outerwear and some chinos, maybe a pair of sandals for lounging. You put it in one of these, you're good to go.
Okay. Two games on the 29th.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Hudson Cole.
As I walk you through an ideal, lovely weekend with a duffel bag.
Two games on the 29th. The Valero Alamo Bowl between Texas and Colorado. And the Cheez-It Bowl in all its pageantry. Miami against Oklahoma State. Texas favored by 10.5. I did not see who's favored in the Miami-Oklahoma State game. I'll pull that one up.
Some Big 12 history here, Ty. Between Texas and Colorado, you've got Colorado beating Texas. They edge them out in 2001 in the Big 12 championship game after Colorado laid waste to Nebraska, who still somehow made the national championship game.
Right.
The ultimate twist. I think I want to say it's a Chris Brown, Chris Sims matchup from 2001. And then in 2005, the Vince Young year, Texas ended up facing Colorado in the Big 12 championship game 70-3. And as our resident being blown out in a conference championship game, Ty, what do you think Colorado players were going through after losing 70-3? $515 Amazon gift card.
That's a lot. You could do
it's
a lot
specific.
With
specific.
Yeah.
Do a lot of damage with that. Mini helmet, team panoramic photo.
All right.
That's very solid. Eat some puffy tacos. Here's definitely not a sponsor. I hope this place is open. I'm checking right now. If you end up going to the Alamo Bowl, which is normally, let's see, two M Smokehouse. It's from everything I've heard from people who have been to everything I've watched. It looks like an amazing barbecue place with a Mexican influence in San Antonio. That's where I would go if you're heading to San Antonio.
Is Texas motivated for this game?
Ooh.
Does Texas care?
Their head coach needed a vote of confidence. Colorado might be okay. Might be a little bit inflated record-wise and bowl-wise. Texas got up for this game last year against Utah, their bowl game. Yeah, I'm going to say so. Yeah. They seem to finish the year on a strong note.
I think I'm with you. Colorado's a really good story. Really good story.
Sure.
Sort of came out of nowhere. Had coaching issues, right, with Mel Tucker leaving very early on or late, I guess, in the process at the start of 2020. You bring in Carl Durrell. No one knew what to expect. And there was a shot there for a little bit that they'd go undefeated in conference in their limited conference slate. So they're a good story. Texas, I think, is a top 20 team. And they're not without flaws. And we may argue both on and offline about whether or not we think Sam Ellinger is good. But Texas is a top 20 team. I think they're motivated here. 10.5, I will lay the 10.5. I feel good about Texas in this game.
Same. I mean, they've had opt-outs, but yeah, I feel good about Texas. Why not?
On the Cheez-It Bowl side, Oklahoma State's favored by 2 over Miami. Favored by 2.
Ooh. Yeah, Miami just lost their star defensive ends, finished the season with a bit of a whimper. Ooh, hell yeah.
I think this is going to be an ugly game. This is an ugly game. This is two teams that want the season to be over with.
Miami as a program has a recent history of just evaporating right before a bowl
game. Pack it up, pack it in, right?
Yeah, they do have that history. That worries me a little bit. But, you know, different year, different squad, but still worrisome.
I'm going Oklahoma State. Give me Okie State.
That was Amazon gift card watch backpack. Pretty solid. Cheese bowl. Yeah.
December 30th, Duke's Mayo Bowl between Wisconsin and Wake Forest. And then we've got the Transperfect Music City Bowl between Iowa and Mizzou. At least as of now, we don't know what's going to happen with Iowa. But let's start with the Mayo Bowl, Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, a 6.5-point favorite. That can't be right. 6.5?
I guess.
You're giving me 6.5 points and Wake Forest. I think Wake will be fired up for that game. I don't know where Wisconsin's at. They've kind of been a mess the last few weeks. I'm going Wake plus whatever. I don't care.
I don't have strong thoughts. I'm not going to pretend to.
Music City Bowl. We can talk about this one, I guess, for now. Iowa's a 14-point favorite. And my only comment here would be that Iowa has been among the most predictable and reliable teams down the stretch. So I like Mizzou. I like the story. I think they've certainly played well in year one under Eli Drinkwitz. Mm-hmm. But Iowa's been steady Eddie. So I'd go Iowa here.
Yeah, I just hope it happens.
Oh. All right. How do we say this company?
Mercari?
Mercari?
I believe so.
It says, make a little money on their website. Sell from home, make a little money. So I don't, is this like a Rakuten? What is this?
I think so.
Poshmark type of thing where you can sell stuff?
I think I've seen commercials for this company. Yeah, I think it's something like that. Yeah, that's what it appears to be.
The Mercari Texas Bowl between Arkansas and TCU. Okay.
They played a few years ago. They had a home and home. It was pretty fun.
They did. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Get in the zone with now Army and West Virginia. Army getting into a bowl game. And the Arizona Bowl, which again, in a little bit of question, given what's going on with San Jose State. But they're set to square off against Ball State, which would be a really fun matchup. Between two teams that won their conference.
If it can happen. Yeah.
If it happens.
Yeah. Liberty Bowl, I'm glad Army got into a bowl game, even though it was at the expense of, not the expense of, but it was, you know, it happened because of Tennessee's issues. But 9-2 Army was in bowl limbo. And so good that they get to play a team like West Virginia. Bass Pro Shops gift card.
Okay.
I feel like they sell a lot of things. Anybody can find something at Bass Pro Shops. Philips Soundbar Bluetooth speaker.
Okay.
Works for me. I can find use for that. Nike shoes, sports sandals, sunglasses, and backpack, and a commemorative football. Maybe eat some Memphis barbecue in the process. That's good.
Get in the zone, baby. Yeah.
In the zone. And then the Arizona Bowl is a, first of all, a good game, but also BB Tech Bluetooth waterproof speaker and wireless earbuds. Okay. Lululemon new crew backpack. Feels like a premium backpack experience. That's good. And a Hudson Cole, not duffel bag, but stainless steel koozie set.
All right.
I don't know if I've ever seen a stainless steel koozie. The koozie's made of foam.
Is that like a vacuum sealed koozie type of thing?
Stainless steel koozie. I think you put in, I actually have seen these. I think you put in your bottle of beer into.
Yeah, I have one downstairs.
Something that keeps it cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I take it back. I have seen these.
Okay. No burning thoughts for me, but I'll go Arkansas, West Virginia, and San Jose State.
Same.
Also on New Year's Eve, Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, Tulsa, -2.5 against Mississippi State. They get a gift suite and an Encore phone charger, a football, and an apparel item. Weirdly looking like a defensive struggle here.
Yeah.
I'll go Mississippi State. Why not?
I think I just saw Mike Leach called 2020 joyless.
Joyless. That's right.
Heading into the bowl season. But that
That might be the most accurate thing he's ever said.
I get it. So yeah, defensive struggle is at least something. It feels like one of those games that gets very strange for whatever reason.
That brings us to New Year's Day. We've got the Outback Bowl between Indiana and Ole Miss. No details available on the gift suite. The VRBO Citrus Bowl between Northwestern and Auburn. They get a gift suite, a $400 Amazon gift card, a watch, and a backpack. And then we got the two playoff games, which maybe we can close out the show talking about. I'll also mention that on January 2nd, we've got the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl between NC State and Kentucky. Kentucky favored by 2.5. They get a gift suite, JBL noise-canceling headphones, and a Bluetooth speaker inside of a customized box.
Hell yeah.
Maui Jim getting in on the action with some sunglasses. The Fossil Watch. Fossil not as active this bowl circuit.
Correct.
But getting in a big way here in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl.
I'd love to get this gift situation here if I'm a Wolfpack member or a Wildcat.
Yeah. And a backpack. So any thoughts on any of those games? It's three games.
Kentucky's struggled. I think I like NC State a little bit here, finishing their season with a bang. Indiana riding, even though the firepower on offense got a lot of the attention, that defense was very much improved this year with Kane. God, they lose their defensive coordinator to South Alabama, the new Jaguars head coach, Kane Womack. So I think he's sticking with Indiana for now. Indiana, certainly, I saw some administration members putting out a statement about how disappointed they are that they didn't make a New Year's Six game. But all the same, should be entertaining. Indiana Ole Miss, Tom Allen, Lane Kiffin. Great. Cool. I think that those are all my thoughts on the Outback Bowl. And then Northwestern Auburn. January 1st.
I can't imagine Auburn wants any part of this football game.
So I assume, who's the interim? Is it Kevin Steele? I believe it is.
That didn't go well the last time he coached a team.
I know, but could he Bill Stewart this thing?
Does he want to Bill Stewart this thing?
So these two teams met in the 2010 Outback Bowl. We're talking Cody Burns, Mikey Kafka,
right.
And a tight Auburn win. Same kicker who kicked the game winner against Oregon the following year, kicked the game winner in this game. So there is history. And I also feel like either Northwestern or Iowa plays Auburn or every single year in this Florida game.
Bowl season. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Seems like a good enough, $400 to Amazon. Can find some things there. Watch and backpack. Great.
I go Northwestern. I go NC State. And I'm going Ole Miss.
I'm going I'm going Indiana, LEO, Northwestern, and the INC State once again.
Then that brings us to our two playoff games before we close it out. Got the Rose Bowl game, played in Arlington. This features a Gift Suite Fossil Watch, Agio Backpack, New Era 950 Snapback Adjustable Hat. Of course, it's Notre Dame and Alabama. And then we get the All-State Sugar Bowl. Later on in the evening, Ohio State, Clemson. In the Superdome, it is Gift Suite, a New Era hat, a diesel watch, and a mini helmet. Have you given any early thoughts to either of these games? I know you hate Notre Dame. Most people do. Most people hate Notre Dame. It's fine. What about Ohio State, Clemson?
I think I like Clemson a lot.
Yeah.
I think I do. And I'm hopeful that Ohio State roster-wise is in a lot better place than they were against Michigan State and Northwestern. And I know they changed up the rules a little bit. They changed 21 to 17 days. So it sounds like Ohio State's going to have a number of guys back. So that's good. We all want full strength for all of these games if possible, especially these bigger games. But I think I like Clemson, comfortably more than Ohio State right now. Ohio State's taking a pretty big step back on defense this year. Clemson's kind of built to take advantage. They seem to be peaking the right time. I don't know. I think I just like the Tigers here.
I am waiting, personally, for the line to come down from 7.5 to 7. And then I'm going to put everything in my betting account on Clemson.
The hook!
The hook scares me a little bit here.
Yeah, I know.
A little bit. But beyond that, I really like Clemson. And maybe there's some recency bias here with what Clemson did to Notre Dame and, frankly, what Ohio State didn't do against Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. Again, they were down 47 players or whatever it was.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So I want to try to not steer too much into how I'm feeling there. But I think Clemson's a much better team.
Much. The word much, when you say much better. Like, I don't know. It's Justin Fields still. Where's the scarlet and gray, right?
He does wear the scarlet and gray.
Their running back just went for 300 against a good defense.
It's a very good Ohio State team. Don't get me wrong. I just think Clemson's better. I think Clemson's much better. So I'm inclined to go Clemson here.
Rose Bowl, Texas, Gift Suite, Fossil Watch, Agio Backpack.
Yep.
New Era 950 Snapback Adjustable Hat. Seems good.
Bama favored by 19.5.
So it's coming down. You told me 20.5 on Sunday.
It opened around 17, went up to 20.5, came down to 19.5.
Money's pouring in. Irish money pouring in. Where would you bet in this game? And don't give me the, like, I always bet against Notre Dame.
I would bet Alabama.
Okay.
If I were betting, because I don't have much confidence that Notre Dame's going to be able to go toe-to-toe and score with Alabama, because that's the thing. So often when we've talked about Bama, it's been in the context of who's going to score on that defense. I think you can score on the defense this year. Florida just showed that you can score on this defense. Ole Miss showed you can score on this defense. It's not impenetrable. I'm more inclined to go minus the number because of the Bama offense than I would be in previous years because of the defense. I just, I don't see Notre Dame scoring with the Crimson Tide. That's why I'd lay the number here.
Notre Dame after the Clemson game is 79th nationally in terms of explosive pass plays allowed.
No. Well, I mean,
Alabama's
I
offense.
It. Yeah, and that's what the whole thing's predicated on, isn't it?
Yeah.
That long pass. So that's worrisome. That's worrisome. Yeah. And I don't know if Notre Dame's got the personnel to guard against it. My point all along has been that I don't think anybody's got the personnel to guard against it. Nobody. That's right. Why you've got to win a game 52 to whatever.
46, yeah, against Florida.
If you want to beat a team like a Clemson or an Alabama. I don't think Notre Dame's got it in them. Now, that being said, they won an overtime game earlier this year, which you conveniently forget about.
It's so important, Ty.
47-40.
We must put weight on that game.
Over the number two team in the country now, the current number two team in the country.
Yeah.
So we did have to go to extra football in order to get to 47 points. But I don't see it happening here. I don't see Notre Dame going into a shootout and beating Alabama.
If I gave you an over-under, I don't know what the number is. I'm sure there is somewhere you can find this. Notre Dame's total, point total in this game.
Yep.
If I said 22 and a half, where are you going?
I'd probably go over.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd probably
go
over.
So you think maybe something like in a 49-28 kind of fashion?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
I worry about a game like we just saw. I worry about a really quick start for Alabama. And the rest of it is just kind of on cruise control. And look, we've seen a bunch of games like that now in the playoff. Seen a bunch of games like that in the short history of the playoff where these semifinals are a blowout. And I worry about that. Look, we could spin our yarns about Notre Dame and where they're at in the pecking order, what the loss to Clemson means within the context of this season and the broader context of the Brian Kelly era.
They're just a really good team to me.
Let me say, and that's fine, but let me say this. Let me bring this thing full circle.
Full circle, baby.
It is very rare that you get drilled in a conference championship game or any big game for that matter, the way Notre Dame did, and you get a chance in the very next game to potentially redeem yourself. When you zoom out and look at where Notre Dame's been in the Brian Kelly era, the knock on Kelly is that he hasn't been able to win the big one.
Right.
Now, say what you want about the Clemson game earlier in the year, whether or not it's valid or not, they still did win that game. It was a big game at the time. It's still a nice win for Notre Dame. It got them in the playoff. If they get blown out in consecutive games to Clemson and Alabama, I'm real curious to see what the reaction is among the Notre Dame community. I don't know. I haven't found anybody in Notre Dame world that thinks that Notre Dame's winning this game against Alabama. But to get embarrassed potentially two games in a row against the top two teams in the country would be a really tough pill to swallow. For Notre Dame fans, for Brian Kelly, it would definitely set things back a little bit, just in terms of perception.
But there's also no expectation, as you mentioned. There's zero expectation. So it's hard to be disappointed if you're not expecting to hang with and or beat Alabama going in as a nearly three touchdown dog. I think in 2012, I think by kickoff time, Notre Dame fans were like, look, we've got this defense. We've got Bob Diaco and his beautiful flowing hair and a Heisman finalist, Manti Te'o. That was the year he was a finalist, right?
Yep.
We keep winning games. We just win. It's not always pretty, but we keep winning. We have Mike Golic Jr. up front. He was on that team, right?
Yep.
Yep. I think people had talked themselves into that defense, keeping him in that game. And then Eddie Lacy pulled on an Alabama jersey. But I think since then, I don't know. I think with every successive loss, I think Notre Dame fans are more realistic, as crazy as that might sound, because Notre Dame fans, like basically everybody else, can be unrealistic when the lights get bright. But I think Notre Dame fans going into this game know they had a really good year, and we know what the worst can look like, and we know that Alabama's better than the team, probably, or you know, has had a better season than the team that just drilled us. So this is just me guessing. Total guess. I could not be obviously further away from the Notre Dame community. I think they just want to show up, right? You want to look pretty good. You want to not get embarrassed once again.
I just think that another embarrassment would be so difficult to get over.
So what do you go after Urban Meyer? You think that's like the school he'll say yes to?
No, I don't.
Okay. So what do
and
you
I'm
like?
I'm not proposing that a coaching change or anything like that should happen. I'm just saying that I just think I don't care how realistic your fan base is. You get embarrassed 2 weeks in a row to the top two teams in the country after the whole goal of this era, the slow drumbeat of Notre Dame football to continue to get better, has been to get into games like this and perform admirably. If they fall short again, they did it once earlier in the year. Say what you want about that game. They did do it once.
Mm-hmm.
If they do it two times in a row now where they get embarrassed, that's just so difficult.
So what do? You just do nothing and hope that the kid from San Diego is good?
I don't know. I don't know what you do. I think it's part of where we're at with college football. It's a larger discussion about competitive balance and playoffs. And
well, you're hiring a new defensive coordinator, right?
Hiring a new defensive coordinator. Defense is not the problem this year.
Right? No.
It was last week, but the problem last week was that they went up against Clemson at full strength. And the problem on January 1st is going to be going up against Alabama full strength. I'm not sure you can do anything. That's been part of what's driven the rest of college football crazy. There's not much you can do when you're trying to compete against these guys.
So then my question is, I mean, this is probably a different answer for you and for the, you know, there's no one unifying thought, but to you, and what sense do you get of the Notre Dame fan base as a whole, even though it's not a homogenous group, what's the measuring stick? Is the measuring stick North Carolina? Got to be better than North Carolina. Or is the measuring stick Alabama-Clemson?
The measuring stick's Alabama-Clemson.
Right. Okay.
I don't think anyone comes away from a potential embarrassment against Alabama and says, well, it was Alabama. Yeah,
I know.
They gave it their best. You know, I don't think, if anything, I think it stirs up a lot of the same emotion that we've seen throughout the entire Brian Kelly era. We hear even more about him not being able to win the big one, even though they did beat Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
But this is obviously a bigger stage where it counts a little bit more. We would continue to hear that kind of stuff. And it's plagued Brian Kelly the entire time he's been there. Mm-hmm. It would continue to plague him, even despite the fact that they had a really good season.
I mean, you're also asking Tommy Rees to outduel Brent Venables and Nick Saban.
It's a tough ask.
To a gunfight. Yeah.
It is a tough ask.
Nothing appreciable changes with Notre Dame if they lose 37-3.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Hey, I hope it's a good game. I like good football games.
I'm tired of blowouts. I know Chris Fowler is. Same. I've been watching his Instagram. He's tired of blowouts.
Yeah. He's tired of stretching during games. Like, oof, okay. Got to talk about somebody's high school teammate here. Got to talk about a pet situation. Yeah.
Well, look. TV. Bowl season is fast approaching. We are going to have a show that drops on Christmas Day. So do stay tuned for that. I think we're going to talk a little Danalytics. Is that the plan?
Yeah, absolutely we are. Improved teams who regressed, offenses, defenses. Yeah, we'll talk about some context.
Talk some context on the show that's going to drop on Christmas Day. But look, again, wherever this podcast may find you, we hope you're safe. We hope you're well. We hope you're enjoying the holiday spirit. We do appreciate your download, your support throughout the course of this season and throughout the course of the upcoming bowl and offseason. We will be here.
Yeah. Promise.
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for supporting. We'll talk to you all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.